We are launching today a three-week teaching series called I Am Jesus. And that's chosen specifically because Jesus in the Gospel of John makes several statements that begin with the phrase, I am, which most of you are somewhat familiar with the idea that when God's name was first revealed back in the Old Testament, what is your name, Moses asked, who shall I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am, or I am the one who causes all to be. And so the great I am, so when Jesus in the Gospel of John begins to use I am statements about himself, it begins to send a clear message that he is the Son of God, that he is God. And so I want to say up front, we are indebted in this series to Craig Groeschel and the Life Church, their assistance with graphics and so much else. We're so appreciative of their spirit of generosity. And that reminds me of that church's greatest gift, which is available to all of you guys. Some of you already make use of it. They have a free app that is called the YouVersion of the Bible. It is millions and millions of copies are around the world. They give it away free. And I think our online connection is up, right, Clark? Our wireless is up in here. So here's what I'll say to you today. You may even download it. If you don't have a Bible app on your phone, you can download it while we're in here. But only for the Bible app, okay? No Candy Crush over here, Jonathan, okay? No, none of that. We're into the Bible today. That YouVersion, I strongly encourage you. It's free. You can download it, make use of it, a variety of versions. And as long as we stay on that Bible page and we're talking about these I am statements, Jesus actually made seven of them in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at three over the next 3 weeks. Today, we're going to talk about how he said, I am the good shepherd. Next week, Pastor Paulo will share about his statement, I am the light of the world. And then I'll come back the week after that and we will close with his statement about I am the true vine. So, by the end of our service today, my hope is that your heart, your mind will be so encouraged along this journey of I am Jesus, who is Jesus, that when you're ready to say, okay, I know, somebody says to you, well, tell me a little bit about Jesus. You may say, I don't know everything, but I know Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And you can talk about Psalm 23. You can talk about how he's been that shepherd in your life. Now, we need to kind of set the stage for this. We need to do some learning. So let's keep our minds open to the scriptures and to the teachings of this good shepherd concept. The core function of the good shepherd, what does the good shepherd do? Well, Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And at the end of our teaching time today, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And that reminds us that he did have his body broken. He did shed his blood. The good shepherd did indeed lay down his life for the sheep. Now, Jesus is the good shepherd. That's not a secret mystery idea. We know that he's good. We know that God is good because we say God is good and all the time. God is good. We know that to be true. It's a biblical testimony. It doesn't mean everything is all rainbows and sunshine. It just means that God is good. He is faithful. Also, the word gospel, it actually means good news. So we've got good news about a good God who sent a good shepherd to take care of us. That's very, very good news. And now, when he says, I am the good shepherd, there's an implication there, right? If you're much in the realm of logic, you understand that when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, that means that there are also out there some bad shepherds or some bad forces at work. And that's why Jesus says in John 10, you may want to open your Bible there, John 10, 1, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Not a real shepherd, not a good shepherd, a bad shepherd, a thief, a robber. And just to be clear, there's only one difference. The thief and the robber both take things from you. The idea is actually in the words that are used here, the robber uses more force. The thief is sneakier. The robber will resort to using force against you. And so you need to know there are some who will come against you who just want to sneakily steal things away from you while still appearing to be your buddy. And there are others who will whack you over the head and take what you have. just what Jesus is warning about, you need to be aware. Now, when Jesus makes this statement in John 10, he's creating a word picture about our enemy, right? Because the Bible refers again and again to God's people as sheep. And so he's talking about our enemy, our spiritual enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. The Bible describes him as the father of lies, as the prince of darkness. He's the prince of darkness because he hates the light. He hates God. He hates God's people. And his mission, Satan's mission, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy everything and anything that matters to the heart of God. Everything that's good, Satan hates it. And let me just be clear. No biblically informed Christian believes in this idea of Satan as a figure in the little red long johns with the pitchfork and the whole nine yards. No, we don't believe that. We're not stupid. But we would say this back to those who would mock that. We would say, you have to almost be willfully ignorant to deny that there appear to be forces, a power of evil at work in this world that is hell-bent on destroying all that is good. People are sick. Cancer seems to be omnipresent. Families are falling apart. Marriages are in trouble. Kids are exposed to more evil than ever and far too young. And therefore, too many of them are making bad decisions. And churches, in the meantime, are being distracted into arguments over things that don't matter with an eternal sense of value. And why do I believe this is so? Because the Bible says it is so, and that at the root of this evil work is the thief, the robber, who comes to steal and destroy. That's the work of this thief. So Jesus particularly distinguishes between himself as the good shepherd and this thief, this robber, based on the mission that they have accepted. Based on their purpose, he says very clearly in John 10:10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, the abundant life. So let's be clear, Jesus is the good shepherd who wants to give an abundant life to the sheep. And who are the sheep? Us-ins, that's right, we are, that's right. That's who we are in this imagery. And so the love of God through the good shepherd, his son, comes to us, and he desires that I have a rich and satisfying life. As I've mentioned, other versions have the word the abundant life. There's another version that says he desires that you have life to the full. Man, if you've ever felt empty, that phrase ought to ring in your heart and your head. It's great to be full of the goodness of God and to have a life like that. That's what God wants for you. He's not the one keeping it from you. So, he's the good shepherd, we're the sheep. Now, can I say something to my fellow sheep? Just for the record, this animal, the sheep, is mentioned more than any other animal in Scripture. About 200 times in the Bible, you find sheep mentioned. And God's people are described as these sheep. And unfortunately, that is not the greatest of news. Not because it's a bad thing to be one of God's sheep, but because sheep and everyone who was hearing this teaching of Jesus, everyone would have known that sheep are not generally recognized as being the brightest. They do have some types of intelligence. Don't let everybody tell us sheep are the dumbest animals in the world. Every animal has their strong suits and their weak suits, but sheep are not generally considered the brightest. Now, I can give you a perfect example that makes this easy. How many ever been to a circus of any kind? Ever seen trained? Okay, so you've seen trained dogs, right? Trained monkeys, right? How many have seen trained sheep? I mean, they even have a flea circus, but not sheep, because sheep don't get it. They're just not trainable in that way. I heard one guy say, yeah, you can teach them to run over, roll over and play dead, but it only happens once. I'm sorry, no, I shouldn't. I shouldn't say that. Then the trick is done. You know, you never see a sheep in a circus because sheep can't be trained like that. They're a little slow in this kind of learning. Now, please, nobody call PETA on me. I'm not advocating that you go home and attack the sheep. So the real point of making that clear is to make this point about them and us. They are therefore needy creatures. They are dependent creatures. They need a good shepherd. Now, I understand, as I look across this fine audience of well-dressed people, that most of you are what my people would call city slickers. You've never lived in rural America, perhaps, or you've never, even if you've lived in a rural part of Montgomery County, yeah, they keep telling me there are those, but, you know, only to a point. But maybe you've never had the chance to live on a farm. I did have that privilege, and we did indeed have sheep. I know there are a few other people. Fred Marks grew up on a farm that had sheep. There are a few folks, but not many. So bear with me. I want to give you a few insights into some of the challenges we face because we are like sheep. So if you're a note taker, get your note page ready. Here's the first one. Sheep have a tendency to get lost easily. Now, I have some dear friends who shall remain nameless. They are, some of them are going, please don't call on me, that without GPS, they couldn't find their way home today from church, hardly. Can I just be honest and say, I'm actually pretty good with directions, you know, but when I go downtown in D.C., I mean, I go with my wife. My wife grew up in this area. I mean, I don't do anything but turn. And the next time we go down, she says, well, don't you remember from the, honey, I'm not paying attention to where I'm going. I'm listening to you because I know you know the way. And sheep are like that. Sheep get lost easily and they need a shepherd. Matter of fact, there's that famous verse, right, in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. That means we've gotten lost. We've gotten off the path. And that's just like us. Each of us has turned to his own way. We have managed to wander in wrong directions. Now, here's the really weird thing about that. You know, we kind of have this image of the people who get lost or the people who have really big glasses and they're down behind the steering wheel or whatever. Did you know that sheep actually have incredible peripheral vision? I swear to you that this is how the scientists put it. Sheep can see what's behind them without turning their head. They have 320-degree peripheral vision. I mean, almost everything except for what's directly behind their head, they can see without even turning their head. So if you wonder why they start running away when you're still far off and you're trying to sneak up on one, it's because they can see all the way around themselves. It's absolutely amazing. Now, here's the freaky part about that. The same eyes that help them see good in the rearview mirror, their depth perception is so bad, they can't see a hole in the ground right in front of them. This is why it's important for the shepherd to lead them in good pastures, because their depth perception is really, really short. It's a shocking kind of thing. Now, you put all that together, and here's what I have to say. That sounds kind of like us. When we look in the rearview mirror at what we did, and oftentimes we're saying it like this, what we did wrong, we can look back and say, oh my God, I can't believe I made that mistake. It's so obvious to me now. God would never have wanted me to do that. Well, I got a question for you. If it's so obvious looking this way, how come it wasn't obvious looking this way? Because we are like sheep. We are so distracted in the present that We can't see well. We don't want to follow too closely to him. We keep our distance. You know, we want to follow Jesus, but at a distance. The New Testament has lots of illustrations about this kind of stuff. And we are just like this. We keep our distance. We want to be close enough to say we're following Jesus without too much risk, without too much being put upon us. We're like those sheep. Easy to see in the rearview mirror, but hard to see what's right in front of us. And furthermore, I know this may sound, again, foolish to you, but if you've worked with sheep, this is what you know. It is incredibly common for a sheep to wander out of the pen if the door is left open and just kind of start wandering off. And again, they're not seeing very well what's in front of them. They really don't know what they're where they're going. Here's what's going on, I think, in their head. I used to speak sheep, but I don't anymore, so I'm just having to imagine that in their minds they're saying something like this. I think I'll go this way. I'm a little bored. There may be something interesting in this direction. Don't really see anything. Don't really see my shepherd leading me this way, but I'm a little distracted. I think I'll go see what kind of stuff I can get into. And off they go. What could go wrong? That's just like us. I meet Christians all the time. And here's one of the ways that it manifests itself. You'll get people who are very solid disciples, who are going to Bible classes or who are going to small group. They're learning, they're growing the faith, and they reach a point where they stop. The angle of growth flattens out. And oftentimes what happens is God is wanting them to mature some of what they've learned before leading them on. But because we're always fascinated by the new thing, by the next thing, by the hot speaker, by the new book that's been put out, all this stuff, instead we just start wandering off. I think I'll go over here. I'll go over here and try this way. Oh, this guy on TV, he's teaching something. And gosh, I don't know whether he's legitimate or not, but I think I'll just listen to him. And then I'll go back and ask the pastor, yeah, can I trust this guy? No, you can't. Almost none of them. Be very, very discerning and very, very careful. We keep making bad decisions. We get lost easily. Here's the second problem with sheep. Sheep are essentially defenseless. Now, this is interesting for me to think about. You think about almost every other animal, they have some form of defense. I mean, even a cat, and y'all know me, I'm a dog lover. So even a cat has claws, right? They will defend themselves. Matter of fact, I've been worried about cats ever since I saw that pair of Siamese on Lady and the Tramp. I mean, they're scary. And so ever since I saw that, I never really trusted cats after that. I'm a dog guy. But this is the thing. They've got a way to defend themselves. Other animals can fly off. Some kick really well. Some have fangs. Some have horns that can just knock a hole right through you. But the fact is, they have some type of defense. Sheep. Anybody actually suffered from a sheep so blending into the environment you couldn't spot them? No. Anybody ever approached a sheep and seen just these gigantic fangs? No. They are defenseless. They really can't do anything. And similarly, like us, without the armor of God, without the help of the body of Christ, without the Holy Spirit's work, without the protection of the Good Shepherd, the Bible teaches that we are completely vulnerable to the lies and the wiles of the evil one. And like foolish sheep, spiritually, we tend to believe too many lies, and we're leading and living in a life that goes towards death and destruction, at least on the inside, even if it's not on the outside. Sheep are defenseless. Number three, sheep are stubborn. Now, here's time for you to do your part. I want you to turn to the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you right now. You're kind of sheep-like. You're stubborn. Say that. See, some of you weren't even willing to do that because you are stubborn. I told you what to do, but no, he's not. He's going to tell me what to do. Stubborn. One pastor said that he read that sheep, this is amazing, that sheep, when they walk into a group of rocks, you know, and what's happened, it gets narrow and they get lodged in there. You know what sheep do next? They keep going. They just keep pushing it forward until they're all stuck in there. They don't come with one of those beep, 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 back it up things. Sheep are not smart enough for that. They're following the guys in front. They just go and they push and they're stubborn and they will do it to the point of their own death. It's absolutely crazy. Now, did I mention somewhere along in here that these are pictures of us? And young people, thank you for being in here with us. We're always glad. I've actually raised a couple of kids, a boy and a girl. Can you believe Callie graduates from college in 2 weeks? 2 weeks. Wow. I'm getting old. And she shares a house at college with four other girls, right? So it's five of them in there. I've met them years ago, kind of act as a second dad, pastor figure for some of them who don't have all of that in their lives. And frankly, as a youth pastor and a pastor over the years, I've counseled with a lot of young men and women. And when I talk about stubbornness, here's one of the things that I can point out. And young ladies, excuse me, I'm not a young lady, but I have talked to a lot of young ladies who said something like this. Pastor, I just don't understand why the guys who are interested in me are always the bad boys. Always, there's not good guys. The wrong kind of guys come after me. And I honestly say, well, you know, dear, I want you to know I'm going to pray for you, and I support you, and I know that your youth minister, if there's one on staff, is going to support you. But I need to ask you, what kind of fish are you fishing for? Because a lot of good girls like to play with the bad boy, right? Why do we do that when we know better? Stubborn. Now you say, oh, pastor, don't put them all in it. Listen, boy or girl, you know, all the parents, okay, get ready to give me an amen. Because if the fastest way to have your child date somebody you don't like is for you to say something, true or false? True. Because it creates this idea of, I want to be independent. I want to make my own judgment. I'm a little stubborn. Now, it's easy to talk about it with the young people, but man, oh, we can go to the adults. Listen, folks, it just gets too personal. I might lose my job by the end of the day. So I just want to say to you, this is stuff, you know. Here's one that adults do. So kids, you can laugh at the adults on this one. Here's what adults do. I'm out of money again. I need some financial help. Can you help me? I'm out of money. I'm broke all the time. Let's go to the mall and talk about it. I stubborn. Stubborn and foolish. That's what a lot of sheep are. Number four, sheep tend to be pretty filthy. They're dirty. They're dirty animals. I mean, honestly, if you've ever worked with sheep, or if you work with sheep, at the end of the day, you stink. That's one of the reasons why shepherds were always out in the fields, because people didn't want to be with them. It's one of the reasons why in the Bible times, shepherds were considered unclean. You could just tell it by the smell of them, right? Now, I know this is confusing to you city dwellers. I mean, I can hear you right now. You're saying, but pastor, I've seen some beautiful white fluffy sheep on TV. Oh yeah, and they power wash that sucker right before they put him in the commercial. Blew dry him, fluffed him up. That's how you get a sheep white. They are dirty creatures. As the King James Version would say, they stinketh. That's just the way it is. Because they don't really have an ability to clean themselves. They can wander into water, but they're afraid of water. So it doesn't really work out very well to bathe a lot. Now, if I can say this without all y'all getting up, as we say, in all your feelings, respectfully, I have to suggest that we are a bit like this as well. It's interesting to me that we like to describe people like this. We say, well, he's a good old boy. Or she's a good little girl. Or he's a good man. And I just want to say, maybe comparatively to each other, we can say those kinds of things about each other. But the truth of the matter is that spiritually, in the eyes of God, because of our sinfulness, none of us is good. We're filthy. We're like sheep who've been wallowing around in the mud. We fall short of God's standards for righteousness. And the bottom line is, we need a shepherd to guide us along, to help us with those things. So let's talk about the good shepherd for a minute. I've talked about the sheep. We'd be lost if that's all we talk about. We got to talk about the one that can help us. Let's talk about the good shepherd. So four quick things the good shepherd does. What does he do to help us along? I pray that you can embrace this as you move beyond this today. Let God begin to do these things in your life. Here's the first thing a good shepherd does. He guides. Everybody say with me, the good shepherd guides. The good shepherd guides. That's what he does. He guides. David says, Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And what does he do? He leads me. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me beside still waters, right? He guides me into green pastures. God guides us. Now, do you ever find yourself with a big decision and you're not quite sure what to do? Well, here's the good news. When you seek the Lord, he will guide you. John 10, verses 3 and 4 says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for the shepherd. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. And see, then once he's gathered his flock, he walks ahead of them. And what do? They follow. They follow him. Why? Because they know his voice, because they've learned to trust him. He guides them. Sheep need to know and recognize the voice of the good shepherd. Now, some of you, I always get this. Pastor, have you ever really heard the audible voice of God? No, I have not. Now, I will say this to you. I believe God can do anything, so when somebody says they have, I don't necessarily throw them out, you know, out the window or anything. It's possible God can do anything. But the Bible reveals that God speaks in a lot of different ways, and it is possible to hear the voice of God. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through the Bible. He can speak through other believers, especially, you know, those Christ followers who know the Word of God. He can speak through a prophetic message. He can speak in all kinds of ways. The sheep who know him know his voice. But some of you say, boy, Pastor, but I've not been to seminary. I hadn't learned all this stuff. All right, let me just give you an example. That then you need to spend time with God and learn to hear his voice, because it's very possible for all of us to do that and learn to recognize his voice. Let me prove it to you. I'm going to use an earthly illustration. Let's say you got 50 women in a room, and they're all talking together. It's not too hard to imagine. Not because all women are super talkative, but the studies show that sociologically they are more communally minded, so they interact with one another. 50 women talking up a storm. You go into the room next door, there are 50 men. Nobody's talking because they're all watching the game that's on in the corner. That's what's going on. Now, if you walk me into that room of 50 women with a blindfold on, and my wife is in there and she's talking, do you think I can find her? 30 years married in 2 weeks. That's where we're going to be. 30 years. Oh, yeah. I know that voice. It won't take me long. If it takes me a minute, I'd be surprised. Because we've spent time together. I know what it sounds like. I'm not so sure I couldn't hear her if she wasn't talking, because I've learned to recognize the silent treatment occasionally. It's not fair that I would say that. Mary Beth's on a plane right now flying back from Europe, so she can't defend herself. So, you know, you spend that kind of time with people, you know their voice. So when we make the flippant statement, I'm not sure I could recognize the voice of God, folks, that's a tragedy. What are we doing here? Learn to recognize the voice of God by spending time with him, and he will guide you. The second thing a good shepherd does is he provides. The Lord is my shepherd. I love this translation. I have everything I need. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. So you get that, right? Green pastures for grazing, still waters for drinking, and he restores my soul. Still water is important for sheep, right? Because sheep, they, amongst their other things, they don't swim too good. So they don't like to get near rushing water. They want still water to drink from. But what I love about this on a spiritual level is not only is it the food and the drink, the physical needs, but he restores my soul. Peace, refreshment. God is a great provider who does not just provide for our bodies, but he provides for our souls. That's the good shepherd's promise. And then the third thing for the good shepherd, he corrects us. He corrects. Now, this may not seem like good news to you if you are the wandering sheep. But the good news is the shepherd loves us enough to correct his sheep even when they're wandering into danger. Job 5, verses 17 to 18. Blessed is the one whom God corrects. Ouch. My God loves me enough to keep me out of trouble. Blessed is the one whom God corrects. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. And that sounds like an odd thing, because when you start talking about God injuring somebody, I'm thinking, man, if God wants to injure somebody, they stay injured. No, that's not the image. The image here really comes out of the whole context of sheep herding. And you may have heard this before. It is true. At least it was true in olden days. I don't know that they practice this much today. Today they put a GPS tracker on sheep. But in the old days, if you had a lamb that would wander off again and again, putting themselves in danger, oftentimes the shepherd would use his staff to intentionally break the lamb's leg. And then for the next period of time, until the lambs, he would immediately set that leg, bind up the wound, and until that leg healed, he carried the sheep, the little lamb, on his shoulders. If you've ever been in my office, you might have seen the carving from Bethlehem, which shows a shepherd with a sheep, little lamb on his shoulders. It's not just a cute picture. It is the image. Why? Because by the time this little lamb has healed, he or she will have heard the voice of the shepherd up close over and over again. They will have known being fed and watered at the direct hand of the shepherd again and again for this period of time. And so this is the picture how God does correct. And I will simply say there are times we really push back about God correcting us on stuff. We want to do what we want to do, but God corrects us because he loves us. Let me do the last thing. Say this with me. He guides. He provides. He corrects. And he protects. And that's number four. He protects us. The good shepherd protects. Psalm 23 again. Even though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. The good shepherd is with me. And when he is with me, I need fear no one else. When he's with me, I have rest for my soul. When he's with me, I'm in good pasture. When he's with me, I'm drinking from still waters. When he's with me, I know he's working all things together for my good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's the message here. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You might say, well, gosh, you just said he used the staff to maybe break a wandering lamb's leg. Yes, but you know, when a shepherd stood in the midst of all the sheep, he would also use that staff or the rod, either one, he would use them, and he would scratch their back, rub along their back. Those of you who got pets, you know how they act. Roll over, rub my tummy too. Now, sheep don't do that, but they love to be stroked and touched too. He would just, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? They remind me my shepherd is near. My shepherd is watching over me. And then he closes Psalm 23. You remember this part? He says, my cup runneth over. So think about this. You're in the presence of the good shepherd, and your cup runneth over. Why does that matter? Okay, so here's the deal in ancient hospitality. When it was time for you to leave, how did they announce it? Well, they didn't point to the clock. There were no clocks like that. They stopped refilling your wine glass. It wasn't polite for you to ask for a refill. It was their job to watch and refill your cup. And when they stopped refilling your cup, the message is, it's time to go. You've worn out your welcome. Now, if you're with the good shepherd and your cup is continually overflowing, what's the message? It's never time to leave. You're always welcome in his presence. Which brings us to the table of the good shepherd. So I want to invite our deacons who are going to help us serve today, our ushers, to come forward and join me here at the table, along with Pastor Larry. Going to help me serve the supper today. And while they're coming, I just want to remind you of this one other shepherd picture. There's another place where he's talking about the sheep, and they says in a parable, you know, the good shepherd, he'll leave the 99 who are with him and go search for that one. And I just want you to hear me today. If you're here in this place and you say, I'm the one, I'm the one that's wandering right now. I'm not really in a good place with all of this stuff. You need to know the Bible says the good shepherd leaves the 99 and he's coming after you. So as this supper is passed to you, we want you to know Jesus Christ is inviting you to know him, to know his broken body and his shed blood, his sacrifice, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.